to...
Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show. My website is at www.zeropoint.ca. My background is as a clinical and forensic psychologist and mystic scientist. I've studied the esoteric, mystical, and occult literature for over 30 years now, and specialize in the secret doctrine of H.P. Blavatsky and G.I. Gurdjieff's book, Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson. And I have a series of books called Within Without from Zero Points, which outlines an alternative model of the nature and structure of human existence. And this is based on my study of the esoteric traditions. So it's not really my original ideas. Instead, what I attempt to do is interpret the occult and spiritual teachings in light of modern science. So I think through the Zero Point shows, you get quite an original view of the science of the soul and the nature of human consciousness. Simultaneously with exploring the issues of consciousness and soul, as listeners know, I'm very concerned about what is happening on our planet in the United States and Canada and around the world with the advancement of what I call the old world psychiatric disorder. People like Henry Kissinger talk about the new world order, but really it's not a new world order. Instead, this is the old world order, and the order proposed by these people is really of a psychiatric nature. These people are actually severely psychiatrically disturbed. And unfortunately, they've gained power throughout the world and been able to deceive the population of our planet who, like sheep, are being led to slaughter. I'd like to open with two quotations here. The first is from J. Edgar Hoover, who was the former head of the FBI. And he once wrote, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists." I began to wake up only 2.5 years ago, and the more I learnt, the more horrifying it is, the more monstrous it is. It's beyond anything I ever could have conceived as a person asleep. Second quotation I'd like to open with is from Bush Senior, who in 1992, he was talking to White House reporter Sarah McClendon, and he said, "If the people were to ever find out what we have done, we would be chased down the streets and lynched." And indeed, this is true. If people of our countries ever awoke to what has been done to us over the past 50 years and what is being done to us now and what is being planned for the future, indeed, this is what people might want to do, is to chase these people down and lynch them. And I wouldn't recommend that. I think that is the worst thing we could do, because I think to bring about a new cycle of violence is, again, just part of the old world psychiatric disorder. I think these people need to be tried, to have public hearings to expose their wickedness. I don't think we want another revolution, and hopefully it will not come to that, even though what's happening in the States and around the world at this time is becoming, I think, more and more precarious a situation as people realize the seriousness of what is the criminal acts being conducted by the government, the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry. All these people we've been led to believe and to trust have been deceiving us. Okay, so I'm going to have a guest who I'll introduce in a moment, but first I'll just turn to Jim Moffat, who's a co-host from Toronto, Ontario. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, okay. Just
I just want to say that I didn't trust them before. You know, like, I've never believed in any of these people. So I mean, I don't have the same sense of shock that you do, I think, in some level about things. But in the other way, I don't go as far as you do in some ways. But I just want to very briefly mention something to you that, and this kind of colors my perspective on things a lot, that there's a book out, came out last year by a guy named James W. Douglas called JFK and the Unspeakable. And I think you'd be very interested in what the unspeakable is. And the subtitle of the book is Why He Died and Why It Matters. And I read about 40 pages of it, and I read an extensive review by James D. Eugenio, who's a veteran JFK assassination critic, and I think one of the most important people writing about it. And I would highly recommend this book, even based on what I know of it so far. I think this is a very, very, very important book, because I think it really shatters a lot of the myths around the Kennedy assassinations and shows that really, since 1947, the United States has been ruled by the national security state, and that they have, in fact, carried out a coup d'etat in the United States by killing the president and replacing him with the person of their choosing. And I think everything since then kind of flows from those events. Like, I think the essential thesis was that Kennedy wanted to end the Cold War, and had elements of the military and the CIA felt he had committed treason at the Bay of Pigs and during the Cuban Missile Crisis by not launching a preemptive strike against the Russians. And I think when you put all of the events that have occurred in the last 40 years in that context, I think your reading of history becomes quite different. You see that there's a consistent pattern here, which is what Dwight Eisenhower warned the American people about in his farewell address, is that the military-industrial complex was growing in strength and had become a power unto itself. And originally he had meant to say the military-industrial-congressional complex, but he dropped that. Didn't want to go quite that far, but that's essentially, I think, what in a large part is at the root of so many problems, and which is part of the monstrous conspiracy that J. Edgar Hoover spoke about. And ironically, J. Edgar Hoover was part of a pretty monstrous conspiracy himself. But anyway, so that's my two cents worth. But as I say, in terms of political import of the show over the last couple of years, I would say that something like this book by Douglas, and there are some other very, very good books coming out in the Kennedy assassinations, kind of points to, in one sense, it puts things in a historical context that's very important. In another sense, it's 45 years since Kennedy was assassinated, and, you know, we can't even get the basic truth out about that event. So, you know, I despair at times about the whole 9/11 movement, as I think there's a long uphill climb there in terms of ever really bringing anybody to, even bringing people to admit the unspeakable truths that are behind so many of these events, that it's very difficult for people who are so consistently told one thing to see through these bright shining lies and see what's really behind them all, and see how people are intentionally deceived and hypnotized
The media has really done its job. I remember was it David Rockefeller who thanked the media for their what he called being their discretion, and saying how the New World Order people could never have advanced their agenda if it hadn't been for the complicity or discretion of the media. And I see that totally now. I think all the people in the media should get little David Rockefeller buttons saying, I helped commit mass murder. Thank you, David Rockefeller. Okay, well, we have a very interesting guest on today, and I'm a big fan of this gentleman, and this is Don Nikoloff. And Don has a show that runs 5 days a week on BBS at 11 o'clock. It's called Evident Footprints. And I regularly listen. It's even upsurped Coast to Coast, which comes on at the same time. but Don is offers, well, he has a variety of very interesting guests. He strikes me as a true gentleman and patriot, and also very brave for his work, and he brings forth a lot of highly original research. He's right on the forefront in trying to fit pieces together, and you listen to his show, and you hear information you just don't get elsewhere. So Don is going to be on for the full show today for 2 hours, and we're going to try an unusual format a little bit. In the first hour, I'm going to interview Don and with Jim here, and then in the second half, we're going to kind of switch it around, and Don's going to interview me. So I hope this will be an interesting show. Welcome, Don.
Thank you very much, Dr. Holmes, and greetings to you, Jim. You're too kind, and I'm delighted to be here and with your listeners as well.
Please call me Christopher.
Okay, I'll call you Christopher. You call me Don.
I'm not very formal a character. If you knew me, I always felt when I would be called doctor, I always thought, oh, I'm a fraud doctor. You know, they say a PhD means piled higher and deeper.
Yes, and I'm aware of the other two attributes that come before that. Speaking of the BS and the MS.
Yeah. Well, I was curious about you, Don, and I'd just like to get a little bit of background. I obviously, you're American. Are you in California?
No, I'm not. I'm in the Midwest of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm probably a stone's throw away from where you are, in a sense. I don't necessarily give out my location.
No.
Although those that are really, really interested in it know where it is.
Yeah.
It just makes my life a little bit more peaceful.
Yeah. How long have you had your BBS show?
Well, I've been with BBS since November of 2007. However, I was broadcasting on another network for a good 6-7 months prior to that. So I've been with BBS for over a year now.
Yeah, good. Well, you're a highlight of my day to listen to your show, and otherwise you're a musician.
Yes, my trade professionally is as a performing musician, a music composer, producer, conductor, engineer, orchestrator, arranger, you know, pretty much everything to do with music.
Wow, and are you keeping that up at this time too in the...
As difficult as it may seem, yes, I am.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
yes.
Music, what do they call it? Food for the soul? Is that the expression?
Yeah, and it's also one of the universal languages alongside mathematics and alchemy, I guess.
Yeah.
But the heavenly alchemies.
Yeah. Well, what's your main instrument that you play?
Well, the professionals often ask me that question. I began with the trumpet and worked my way through the brass, the reeds, the keyboard, and stringed instruments, and then into the percussion realm. I play about 30 different instruments.
Wow, my goodness. Great. Okay, and you mentioned on your show the other night the kind of remarkable recovery so far of your father, who's had a stroke. How is your any further news on your father's recovery or difficulty?
Day to day, he's getting better each day, and you know, I'm grateful for all the people out there who have been praying. The only thing I've asked my listening audience to do. I never solicit contributions for the show, although that would be nice. I get a lot of I get contributions in other ways from my listening audience. I get many thanks. I get lots of email, lots of valuable research information, which points me in some different directions and and guides me, and I get their prayers. And through the prayers of many, many people around the world, my father has already experienced many miracles. He had a massive stroke, and he's sitting up and talking. Now, not constantly, but they said he would be a vegetable. And of course, God's grace and mercy leads one to healing if one has that faith, and I'm a witness to that.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
I'm following that with you. And my mother's had a stroke, and she can't speak now, even 3 years after her stroke, and it's very sad and frustrating for her. And my father has Alzheimer's. So very difficult, and it's hard to see your parents in their infirmity as they're older. It's sad, and then at the same time, that's life. And there's a saying in the Bhagavad Gita of India, it says, the wise lament neither the living nor the dead. And the idea of that is that the wise realize that a human being, there's something within us that survives physical death. And so even although we suffer a death and we experience the loss of death, in a way, I believe that frees that soul or that individual for continued existence and to be restored to their health and capacity.
Yes, I agree with you. I feel very strongly that one's faith and one's knowledge of what you just described, it helps if you've had that experience, gives you the courage to do the kinds of things that you and I and other researchers and talk show hosts do. And that's reveal the truth, which has been so carefully hidden from us.
Yeah.
It's very threatening to the powers that be to have us discover the truth, yet that is our real nature. That is our true nature.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was a university professor for 12 years and in Toronto. It was at a Jewish university, actually. And my work, because I was interested in esoteric studies and paranormal phenomena, was a huge hit with the student body. And I had a massive following within the university. But they essentially drove me out. And I knew two other people in the Ontario educational system at the time into the paranormal studies, and they were similarly driven out of their universities. And even today, I did an internet survey. There's not one university in Canada where you can study spiritual psychology or esoteric psychology. It's one of the areas in which they've intentionally dumbed people down, as they have in all areas.
Well, you know, I've been an intuitive my whole life, and I've had to suppress that as a child. And there came a point in my adulthood where I said, this is nonsense for me not to speak the truth about what I know, and I began speaking. I've been a researcher for 35 years and basically came out, I'm in my third year of sharing my research, and I really feel it's God-given knowledge, and at least the Creator opened the door for me to see things, and to give me the gift of communication to be able to share that with people. It's difficult because you challenge the belief system that is used to control the planet, and people are insulted by that. The very method that has been used to dumb them down, both educationally, politically, religiously, and all the other covert ways of asserting a tyrannical domination over other people who are sovereign creatures created by a magnificent being we know here as God, and yet we see so many contradictions that when one hears the truth, one doesn't know how to sort it out. And so I know that I have maybe been given a gift for wading through that and imparting that information. It's not about insulting one's faith. It's not about ridiculing someone or putting them down. It's about showing people what is being done to all of us. I'm part of that. I was a victim of that. And in some ways I still may be, but I'm ever experiencing the sensation of being a sovereign being.
Yeah.
And that's what I endeavor to share with my listening audience and my readers and folks like yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard facing it in a way, because if you had bought into the system, in a way, everything you were ever taught has been a lie. They have rewritten history. The wars are all based on lies. Your education's based on lies. The media people are pathological liars. It's like everything, it strips away all these things you believed in. And most people, first coming upon this type of information, they're incredulous. Like, how could you think people would spray us from the air with chemtrails? Like, how could you think that? Like, they can't psychologically grasp it.
Mm-hmm. How can you say that they're putting the byproducts of aluminum manufacturing in our drinking water? Why would anyone do such a thing? Or why are they toxifying medicines? Why do they put petroleum products in medicines? You know, this is insanity. That's why. There's no logical explanation other than their unquenchable thirst for power. And power over all of us.
I think we see it largely that these creatures really are, I see it, as ruled by alien and or satanic influences. Like, in a way, I see them as a breed apart from normal human beings who I believe just innately have more heart feeling.
Yes, you are right on both counts.
Sorry?
Pardon me, I thought you had concluded. You are right on both counts.
Yeah.
I can flatly say that. Now, there are some networks where when I say something like that, it's challenged, but I can speak of it authoritatively. So, and experientially.
I'm interested, you've been researching for 35 years. Has that been research into, like, the nature of the political kind of complex, military-industrial complex, like world events? Is that the area of research, or did you mean more broadly researching, like, music? Or?
Well, music was my first gift in terms of my worldly experience and my spiritual connection to that. I began as a musician at age 2. I began studying music at age 2, which is...
Wow.
Many people can't remember what happened in their life at age 2, and I began playing the trumpet at that time. About 1973, 1974, around that period of time, was when I was really having my consciousness opened for me. And there was another event that occurred in 1982 where it was wide open, and I began to see other dimensions. I began to perceive what was going on. I was seeing the illusions that are the things that you described. The history that has been painted for us is a fiction.
Yeah.
And who is behind the war, regardless if it's World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Spanish-American War, the French Revolution, the Civil War. It doesn't matter where the Boer War, you can name many, many wars, and they're all created by the same people for a purpose. And we're getting to the point where we're realizing explicitly what that purpose is. Yet at the time I began researching, I was questioning religious authority. I was questioning the message, and I mean very profoundly. I was raised as an Orthodox Christian, and I practiced Christianity, but there were so many things in the religion itself that did not connect with what I knew spiritually, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know the truth in private, And yet, when you speak of it, there are those that come against it. And I as a young man, I couldn't understand why. And then later, it became quite evident that this was a conspiracy, that this was planned and orchestrated hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago. In fact, we go through these cycles every few thousand years on this planet. And that goes back 450,000 years minimum. And you mentioned the alien influence. Well, the alien influence is definitely part of this. This is the unspoken part of it. This is when one speaks of these truths, one is attacked. First, they attack the character. Then they attack the message. Then they kill the messenger after that. So I realized that they're not. When I understood death and life and the purpose for life and the purpose for death and what actually transpires, which is found in many of the ancient writings, which you referred to at the top of your show, then one need not fear death. Death and the fear of death or fear of anything is actually an illusion. This can only be created through the mind, and it does not enter the heart. In no way can that be put into the heart. That is a private line to the Creator, the heart.
Yeah.
And so as I searched deeper understanding from the spiritual realm, and one could say it's metaphysics, I don't necessarily call it the occult. Once it becomes apparent and it becomes insightful and awareness within an individual, it's no longer occult because it's not hidden. It's hidden from the masses, but metaphysics is that which transcends science.
Yes, Blavatsky says all physics leads to metaphysics. It's like as you understand something more and more deeply, it leads to metaphysics because there is a realm beyond the physical illusory realm. So all science carried far enough leads to metaphysics. Like I would say medicine. You carry medicine far enough and it'll have to lead you into the psychology of the soul.
Yes, I agree with that. You're right.
Just to go back, I had experiences. I'm curious. When I was young, I at times in my dream states would be able to hear this most incredibly heavenly, beautiful, orchestral type music. And I remember I'd come back and when I woke up and I would wonder, where was that music? Is that my mind creating that? Or does that exist in a realm, like a heavenly realm, that music? I'm wondering, being a obviously gifted protege in terms of music, I wonder if you've had that type of experience of like experiencing, I don't know if it what I experienced, the music of the spheres or this kind of heavenly realm of music. Is that part of your experience at all in terms of composing music?
Oh yes, not just in an unconscious state where I'm in deep REM, but also in my waking state. And yes, you're correct, but you're describing it's not in a place per se, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It permeates everything. It gives life to everything. And it's the resonance of all of the frequencies of all life that creates that music. It's in the composition of a song, whether it's an instrumental song or a vocal piece or a symphony or just a solo on an instrument, a solo performance like on a piano, for example, or a guitar, or a flute or a trumpet or a French horn or any instrument. That is just an individualized expression, just like you are an individual expression of the whole of humanity, or the whole of human beings throughout the universe. This is not the only place there is life. This is not the only place there is music. And instead of looking at the all of everything as from here to there, a straight line, consider that it may just be one expansive whole, and that your experience puts you at the center, as and equally so, my experience puts me at the center. I cannot be in two places at the same time, neither can you. So you must be the center, and I must be the center. And if we're all the center, we're all one.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. That is the fundamental tenet of the secret doctrine of H.P. Blavatsky. Blavatsky says there is one omniscience which thrills throughout every finite point of the universe. So it's
yes.
like that information of the whole is present everywhere, and it's only an illusion that we're trapped in our separate egos and bodies. But really, there is a fundamental interconnectedness between ourselves and the whole of the universe. We
yes.
live in that vast sea of is information, if we can tap that or are open to it.
Well, we're born with it, but at the moment we get the smack on the rear end, being held upside down from our ankles, we tend to begin to forget it at that point. And we're re-educated into this system, into this matrix. And there are those of us who are constantly striving to get out of that matrix from childhood, which is why you have many children throughout history who shirk authority, because the authority is not ordained of the Creator. It's ordained of this prison planet, if you want to call it that.
Yes, so much of it unnatural and restrictive of the inherent freedom to the soul.
Yes, I mean, if you consider your coming into life on Earth in a physical body as a spirit being, a momentous event, you are given a smack on the rear end. They don't say welcome. You know,
no.
You're not congratulated. I mean, you're punished.
Yeah.
And the excuse is that starts the breathing process. That begins life. Well, that begins life on Earth. That doesn't make it anything near what your potential is.
Yeah, and there's no need for it. You don't have to sever the cord immediately, and you can let the child initiate its own breath will come into the body. Without
yes.
that smack, but it's almost part of the pathological medical mentality of the past century.
Yes.
I know
yes.
I my wife and I, we had three of our four children born at home, and it was just wonderful, and they sure didn't get held upside down and smacked.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Don, so I just to go back a little bit then, when you first, that day of September 11th, 2001, when you first saw that on TV, did you know immediately, like, here they go again? Or did it take you time to? I mean, everybody, I think, in the moment was so traumatized by the whole thing.
Well, there was a, to answer your question, let me preface it by saying there was a measurement of emotion, which is studied from space, and there was a shift in consciousness that occurred on the Earth sometime before 9/11, as though everyone on some level, and of course your understanding of metaphysics, you know that that our higher selves, or the aspects of us that are in touch with the center of creation, knew that 9/11 was going to occur before it did. And so the shock that people felt and the way they reacted was in relation to the amount of mind control and brainwashing that they had endured from their existence here on this planet. And so, of course, I recognized immediately that something was very unnatural, that it was too planned, it was too orchestrated, and as the information came out, minute by minute, it was very apparent that the media, which was able within 10 minutes to tell us who was behind it, was unable to stop it, was unable to warn us about it. And there were so many ridiculous anomalies occurring, like George Bush reading a book, My Pet Goat.
Yeah.
It wasn't my pet dog, my pet cat. It was a goat, the symbol of Satan.
Yeah.
In these people's satanic worship. So you had all the symbolism going on. The twin towers of the World Trade Center. We already had this New World Order statement, which you referenced from George H.W. Bush, which he gave before the United Nations. And it's a very evil sounding statement. It's not something that lingers in the hearts of people to have this new world order. And so I instantly looked at the Twin Towers and I saw the number 11 as the representation of Satan. And it is, because God is in numerology is the number 10, or the creator is the number 10, perfection. The number 11 represents one greater than God. And even if you break it down numerologically and reduce the 10 to a 1, God is one. God is all. And the 11 breaks down to 2. 2 is greater than 1. So just looking at it in simple, basic numerology, that building or those buildings were constructed for the very purpose that we experienced on 9/11.
Oh, you think that was actually part of the original intention?
Absolutely, it was.
Really? Wow, I've never heard that idea. Yeah. Or it's interesting. I mean, I mean, the buildings had become such a monstrosity because of the asbestos problems, and I knew someone who worked in one of the towers, and she said they used to sway so much she couldn't work there. Like they were so monstrous.
Yeah,
it's
they
like
already knew about the asbestos. Pardon me.
It's like the Tower of Babel a bit, where men try to build a tower into the heavens. Like these people, they love their failing. They must have some sense of deep feeling of inferiority. They love their big phallic symbols, like the bigger and higher, like they're trying to replace climb to God or something.
Yes.
They're monstrous. These buildings are monstrous, really. They're so unnatural.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I began looking at it, and I recognized the relationship between the city of London and the World Trade Center. And I found it very anomalous, since you mentioned that day and that event. How is it that the BBC began broadcasting the collapse of Building 7 before it collapsed?
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought down intentionally through explosive means. It was a classic building demolition. Although there were some anomalies in how the building fell, if you study the videos of that.
Well, I mean, you see all the squibs, which are like obvious proof of like explosive demolitions below the fall line in the building. But the manner in which the building, the concrete was absolutely pulverized, suggests that there may have been some more advanced technology of some type.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely no doubt about it. And there were several films that revealed flying saucers. Now, that doesn't make me crazy because they're in that video. I didn't put them there. You know? And whenever anyone brings that topic up, it's, oh, now you're going to go there. You're going to ruin the Patriot Movement. Well, we could talk about the Patriot Movement too, you see, because that's part of this mind control a program to create a new world order on this planet.
Yeah, they infiltrate all the kind of oppositional groups. I mean, these people have just unlimited funds, and they pollute everything they can get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Patriot Movement.
Yes. Well, they have constructed an illusion, and it's a two-handed illusion. You know, people say, well, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
Yeah.
Well, they created it that way. They gave people a choice, just like they do with the political parties here in America. We have the Democrats and the Republicans, and the Democrats are called liberals, and they have a variety of names for the Republicans, but they've been called neocons, conservatives. And so the conservatives align themselves with a religious principle, and the leftists or the Democrats align themselves with political principles. Well, you in the political realm, you have what they call democracy, which is really an aberration of the Republican form of constitutional government upon which the United States was founded. And they lean towards communism. And I don't want to just say lean. It's actually what we have now is a communist form of government. They're just not calling it that. They're still calling it a democracy. Now, are you telling me to go to Iraq and start a war is going to bring about a democracy? Do those people not have a sovereign right to determine the nature of their government? And is murder the act of a Christian? You see, these people are on the right are pretending to be Christians, and they're murdering, and the excuse is that they're doing it for God.
Yeah, and spreading democracy, as if there was democracy in America when both parties are owned by the same criminal cartels and
yes.
have been for however
yes.
long, I don't know.
Yes, so, you know, when I speak about this, actually what this is called is British Israelism. Now, that doesn't mean I'm attacking people that live in Great Britain or in England, because they politicize these things to make it appear that one is attacking the people of a particular country.
Yeah.
Zionism is all over the world. It doesn't need a country, per se. It doesn't identify with a country, yet their secret location is in England and in Israel. And you have
what
to,
do you make of that? David Hawking talks about that place, Zug, Switzerland. Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely. Mark Rich, whose real name is Hans Brandt, and he is the international arms drug dealer that also works for Dresser Industries, I found in some research that I was doing for Christopher Story. He came through Canada in 1954. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
Under his passport says Hans Brandt, B-R-A-N-D. And there is a store in Milan, Italy, that I saw when I lived in Europe. Hans Brandt. In the front of the store, he sells industrial kitchen appliances, like to the restaurant industry or to hospitals or places where they serve meals to large groups of people at the same time. In the back, he sells spy equipment. So he was a money launderer for the Clintons and for the Bush cartel, and he was charged and arrested in New York, and he got a last minute presidential pardon. If you recall that, Bill Clinton pardoned him. One of those 11th hour pardons, the day before he left office. And then, he fled, and obviously, it was assumed he went to Zug, Switzerland. I actually had seen his house. Someone had showed me his house, and I had no idea who he was or what he was doing. But I recall that event. And, I was able to track him down in both the Netherlands and in Spain. He's got addresses and email addresses and phone numbers in both countries. So he's still doing that work.
Yeah.
You see, these people are just agents. That's all they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're all so much puppets themselves. Like, it was interesting last time we had David Hawking on, and he said of Bush, well, Bush is a victim. He described him, and it's like these people ascend into these positions, and they, I think most of the time, don't really understand at all what they're getting into until they get compromised, often through bribery or through sexual perversions and prostitution and pedophilia and means like that. And that's how these people get brought into the system, and then they are unable to speak out in a way. I think a lot of these people must really live in fear and feel like an intense shame for what they do.
Well, in the case of Bush, the Bush clan, and I did the genealogy on the Bushes, And I know for a fact that George W. Bush complimented my research. He used some rather choice words about me. He referred to me as being nosy, but he said, I'm a damn good researcher, and he made some other profane remarks. He had to agree that I had discovered the truth. And of course, we've had no denial. You see, the Bushes were trained, George H.W. Bush was trained by Hitler as a youth to come and spy on Nikola Tesla and to steal Tesla's inventions.
Wow.
And you think it's any accident he got to where he did, having been born in Durlich, Germany, which is south of Leipzig? Now, as an intuitive, I located that spot. And yet I was able to match the architecture of the photographs I had of him sitting with Joseph Mengele, Otto Skorzeny, Martin Bormann, and Reinhard Gehlen, all young men.
Wow, goodness.
Okay, this was God showing me this, you see.
Yeah.
And this is how you debunk these lies in history, is you discover the truth. However difficult it may be for some people to accept, it's not about where you cast your vote, you were a fool. It's, I'm giving you the opportunity to redeem yourself. Look at this information. This has not been refuted.
It's interesting. It's said in the Bible of end times that all things will be revealed. And I feel that's the period we're in. We're having all these revelations that people really had no idea of, like the whole, like the lies about the war, the lies about the Holocaust, the lies about the moon landing, the lies about 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, London bombings, all these things we've been lied to and intentionally deceived. And now is this period where all these truths are being revealed for people who are willing to stay in the fire and search these things out.
But there's another side to that. I mean, you can say that these things are being revealed and these truths are being revealed, but I mean, I don't believe some of the things you just said. Like, I mean, I don't believe that George Bush Sr. came from Germany as Hitler's agent. I don't believe that the moon landing was faked. I don't believe a lot of the things that you say are revealed. So, I mean, there's certainly many things that are coming out that you know, there's evidence that the official story is generally a lie. It's somebody said, like, history is written by the winners, you know, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So it's always distorted. But it's a huge leap to go from saying that, you know, there have been fundamental lies about very important events, like, for instance, like whether or not Roosevelt knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. Well, for years, I kind of clung to the belief that he didn't know it, but now I think it's indisputable that he did know it. I think that the documentation is there that proves it. But to say that just because somebody in the truth movement or somebody who has done research has come up with an alternative idea, that doesn't mean that these things have been revealed. I mean, you know, there's so many different aspects to this. I mean, it's so complicated. To me, it's pretty simple about George Bush. I think it's much more likely that he is what he's supposed to be, that he's a rich guy who got in a position of power fulfilling a series of functions, like, you know, being involved with the CIA and climbing the ladder. I think that, you know, that I don't think that's a great mystery. I fundamentally disagree with this idea that just because somebody says, oh, well, we've exposed this, that, you know, that this is revealing a truth. It's an alternative idea. It doesn't mean it's true.
Well, can I respond to this?
Yeah, I'd love to hear the response to that.
I haven't asked you to believe anything, number one.
I didn't say that. I said, I don't believe it.
Well, I know, but I'm not asking you to believe it. But to say you don't believe it when I can produce facts, and I have produced facts,
mm-hmm,
which have not been disputed one iota. In fact, they've been acknowledged by a member of the family. Can you grasp that concept? And this is not just something I'm saying. This is within the realm of my experience. I have photographic proof of this. I have documented proof of this. And I presented this. Contrary to what we've been told in history, I presented the means through which I discovered this as well. And it's not been refuted. I refuted also many of the stories told about the Federal Reserve and how it was created, not to to debunk what G. Edward Griffin has published on the subject, because he's written a magnificent book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that describes in detail what the Federal Reserve is about. But I track the shipping passenger records of people like Paul Warburg and James Loeb and Harry Sachs and the Brown Brothers Harriman. And I did the whole genealogy on the Bush clan. And I found nothing but lies in the federal records. How is it that people from England, as they claimed they were, had German servants in their house? That's unnatural. That's like a Japanese man hiring an African because he wants to have African food. Japanese tend to eat Oriental food. And their customs are as such. I found lies in the customs statements of the servants themselves. They made a claim that they're of the family of Samuel P. Bush, who was born in Brick Church, New Jersey, in 1963. Well, Brick Church didn't exist in 1963. The church itself was not built till 1875, some 12 years later. So that story was a lie from the beginning. So I'm not asking you to believe, but if you do the research I did, or just go to my website and read my research, it'll change your attitude. That's all I'm saying.
And I think also, like, none of us want to simply believe. Like, that's been the problem, is that people in our society too long have believed what they've been told through the media and education. So that has been the problem. We don't want beliefs about these things. We want hard data. Like, yeah, we want to build a case and acquire that information and knowledge. So I don't think we want to just simply believe these things.
No, this is not an idea. Do you understand? An idea is an ethereal thing. This is backed by research. It's backed by documents. It's backed by evidence.
Yeah.
And analysis of that evidence. And connecting the dots.
But you can say that about all sorts of claims, many of which are wrong about things. People marshal facts about all sorts of things that are complete lies.
Yes, but that doesn't debunk what I've done.
Well, no, but I'm trying to put it in the context of saying that you can say this is based on facts, but I'm saying that, okay, one, your facts could be wrong. Two, your interpretation could be wrong. And, I mean, three, your facts and interpretation could be correct. But that's all I'm saying is that just to say that, oh, this is based on facts and I've done the research, that's not convincing. That's just food for thought. It doesn't mean it actually happened that way or that you're correct in what you're saying. Because there's all sorts of facts and interpretations for the things that you're trying to debunk, which make it exactly the opposite case, or make a case which is very different in terms of meaning. That's all I'm saying, is that just because you can see that there are all sorts of lies in the official versions of things, doesn't mean that alternative theories and explanations or alternative facts and interpretations are correct. I mean, that's the problem, is like what Gurdjieff calls the willingness of people to believe any old tale. And I read a lot of things that on the internet, and I look at things that people say as alternatives to the official stories, and they seem to me to be, quite frankly, crazy. You know, I mean, they don't make any sense to me. So,
a lot of times that's the agencies themselves putting that bunk out there in the first place.
But it's people who think that they know things that don't know things. I mean, there's also, you know, the most important thing to know is what you know and what you don't know. And really, I think that's what you have to keep in mind about almost everything I have this fundamental difference with Christopher since we've gotten into this. I might as well just sort of say it right now. But since he had an experience a couple of years ago where he had kind of like a like a higher, what he describes as a, like a, I don't mean to speak for you, Chris, but what I understand is you say you sort of had a revelation, an awakening to things, and that all of a sudden you saw how you had been asleep to so many fundamental truths and misled and believed things that were clearly not true. And since then, Chris has like put out a lot of different ideas about a lot of different things, some of which I think are very insightful and I think which are very correct, and some of which I think are completely crazy. You know, now, he is quite sincere. I've known Chris for over 45 years. He's an honest person. He's a truthful person. I think his entire life has been devoted to finding truth. But he's also mistaken about things, and he could be mistaken about a lot of the things that I think he now thinks he understands. And that's my point, is that just because you're passionately a believer in a certain truth doesn't make it true.
I'd say, Don, to explain a bit, Jim doesn't think that there's a conspiracy for population reduction. He doesn't believe chemtrail spraying's going on.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about chemtrails. No.
Oh, well, you didn't at one point.
No, I didn't.
Couldn't believe it.
I didn't say that.
Can I interject something?
Please.
3 years ago, I began speaking about government corruption in the financial realm, that they were stealing trillions of dollars. This is just coming out now and being accepted even in the alternative media by other people. But no one is recognizing the fact that I began speaking about this 3 years ago. And I have documented proof that this is going on. And they have the banking coordinates and the names of the people and the account numbers of where these trillions of dollars have gone. It's actually into the quadrillions. We can't imagine that amount of money. We cannot imagine. If you could see what $1 trillion looks like on pallets, it dwarfs the size of a human being and most buildings. $1 trillion. And recently, the number was estimated to be around $600 trillion, but in actuality, it's in the quadrillions. Now, this is all smoke and mirrors. This is all illusion that's going on. It doesn't make it any more real than any other material thing on this planet. It serves the purpose for us being here, but it has nothing to do with the bigger picture. It doesn't mean that I was wrong or that other people were wrong. It was just that they were not in the place to be able to accept or comprehend what I was talking about. Yet, we're seeing evidence of this all throughout the world now. Why are people being evicted from their homes? And it's not because the companies have been taken out of the country. That was part of the plan, too. These companies that we say are American corporations were already owned from the beginning by foreign entities. GMAC and Ford Motor Company, and not just the automotive manufacturers, but the banks.
Yeah, all by design, and this has been carried on systematically over, like, decades.
Yes, and this is being proven now. This is not my belief. This is knowledge. This is knowledge, and because it is outside of the realm of your knowledge does not disqualify it or make it wrong or incorrect. That's the point I'm making, and I'm not saying you're not justified in expressing what you feel. I hear a lot of the belief system, a lot of the matrix in your words, Jim.
Well, this is, Jim and I did have different perspectives on here, as you like have come across. I am interested, what do you think, Don, about the moon fraud? I say it's a complete fraud. Have you ever examined that issue?
Yes, I know a lot about what's going on the moon, and you could say, well, how do you know? Well, you would have to trust that I'm intuitive, or I'm psychic, that I can see things, I can know things. I happen to know there are things going on in Mars, and what we're told about why we're in space and what is in space is generally a lie.
I'm thinking particularly about what are claimed to have been the moon landings with the pictures we've been showed, that people have analyzed them, and you see, for instance, the moon capsule on the moon, but there's no crater under it, which if it descended, you know, with exhaust, like to slow its descent, it wouldn't create a huge dust cloud. But there's absolutely nothing under the lunar capsule, and there's no dust on the lunar capsule at all.
Yes. Well, we've been now. That's not to say no one has ever been to the moon.
Oh no, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. But at the time we were given the story of landing on the moon, we had already been on Mars.
You think we'd already been on Mars?
Oh yeah.
Why do you think they would then have faked the moon shots?
Because the means to getting to Mars is quite different from getting to the moon. And it has to do with the concept of dimensional portals. They like to call them jump gates or stargates. And there is not such an existing method of getting to the moon. They have to actually rely on a totally different type of physics, and it involves going through the Van Allen belt.
Yeah.
You see? And that's the basic premise of why you probably feel that was a big hoax. In fact, we've seen the video of the lights falling down, if you saw the light bars falling down from the ceiling. It's hilarious.
Yeah, where he takes his first step down and he says, this is the first step for giant step for humankind, and exactly what he said when he stepped down on the moon, and then you hear a crash and the lights fall down, and they say, stop, you know, do another take, and you see the whole thing is in the studio.
Yes. Now, why would someone go to the expense of making that? And really, that would be expensive to make that short little clip. To stage that, to create the costume would be exorbitant. You know, I mean, they run Hollywood. Okay, Hollywood serves a multifaceted purpose. It has to do with mind control and propaganda, which is a mind control, of course, and brainwashing, and the setting up of events to condition us to accept them when they occur, like 9/11. I mean, doesn't anyone recognize the fact that they came out with a movie called The Lone Gunman on Fox Network just shortly before 9/11, and the plot of the movie was that some terrorists were going to bring down the World Trade Centers with airplanes. Do you think that that those writers of those scripts were friends of Osama bin Laden? Do you really believe some guy in a cave did this?
Well, I mean, there were actually government documents even which also discussed that. I mean, I've seen one where they show a crosshatch on the World Trade Towers.
Well, that had been discussed. That possibility had been discussed in United States intelligence circles and in defense operations. The possibility of flying a plane using it as a bomb into a large building and including the World Trade Center.
Yeah,
that's documented.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, they had explosions going off in the buildings before the planes hit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you couldn't blame that on jet fuel and the fuel.
No.
You know, the whole story is preposterous. I mean, you know, for us to argue about it, we would dishonor the very research we do.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think there's any disagreement here. I mean, there's disagreement perhaps about some of the details of the attacks. Like, I think one of the most interesting issues that has come up now is the fact that there may have actually been no airplanes, or at least the pictures we were shown of the airplanes hitting the towers were actually concocted in the media studios using some kind of Photoshop or filming media. I mean, I think that's absolutely fascinating. I'm sure you've seen the September Clues series, John?
Yes. And I've spoken about that and actually written about that as well. And that is right on the money.
Yeah.
That is right on the money. And I've analyzed probably 1,000 different videos that have come out from various sources. People just trying to say, here's what I got off of my TiVo. These are ordinary people that don't have the money, don't have the funds, or the knowledge in how to compile these videos. And yet the media has given us convenient shots of an event that they had no idea was going to occur. How do you get eye-level shots at 85 stories high? We're talking about a perpendicular line. or, you know, a horizontal line, lining the eye shot of the camera at 85 stories. How was that accomplished? What, from what building were those pictures taken?
Yeah, I've seen that. The one I think you're referring to. I mean, different videos of the plane hitting the second tower actually show different trajectories of the plane. One shows it coming in parallel, and that while others show it kind of banking and descending.
Yes, and different colored planes. In some of the videos, the planes are black. Even though the building is gleaming from the sunlight, for some reason the plane is obscured and is totally black, as if it's cast in a shadow.
Yeah.
When it's clearly in the line of sight of the sunlight. And the sunlight is coming from one direction, and the shadows are cast in another direction, if there are even shadows. And other types of anomalies where there are ground shot videos taken where the smoke is blowing in one direction, say to the southeast. The wind is coming from the northwest, causing the smoke to blow to the southeast. And there's a bush next to where the camera is sitting, and the bush is blowing in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You know, if you study these things and look at all the details in them, not just the feeling that you get or the illusion, you can see that there are things that are not in proper proportion.
Yeah. I found that September Clues series absolutely convincing after seeing that. It doesn't mean that it's not impossible that a missile might have gone into the building. I'm not even denying that, but from viewing that series, if that was, as the person claimed, the original videos shown by the five networks on the day of 9/11, if mm-hmm. that's the case, then it's obvious that it was like a fraud. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so much evidence, even in that little video series. The nose-out shot, where one plane, you see it go into the building, and then its nose sticks out the other side, but there's a micro-precision match between the nose-in and the nose-out. And we know the plane didn't go through the building and leave its nose out. And then 5 minutes later, CNN is showing the same shot, but they're covering the nose-out with their banner at the bottom of their screen.
Yes.
Like that in itself, that one little bit of evidence, that's all you need in a way. But it's not just one piece of evidence, it's overwhelming evidence. I mean, there can be no doubt anymore about 9/11. Like, it's hard to believe that people still believe it. But I guess it just shows how people are only exposed to the main media and you know, the only way to learn about these things generally, I would say, is through the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christopher, I raised the issue of the so-called 75 videos that they gathered from all the businesses surrounding, and these are from, you know, security camera videos from the surrounding buildings around the Pentagon. Now, those would certainly show us what occurred, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It would reveal that there was no airplane, for one thing, so they dare not show those to the public. I mean, you know, right there, why not show it? Well, it's the same problem we have with Barack Obama, isn't it? Why doesn't he show his certificate of live birth? Well,
yeah.
He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
It's a simple answer. It's simple.
That is another very interesting research you've initiated, is doing a photo analysis of some of his early photos. Maybe you could say something about that, where you think that they were actually put together or composited somehow through some Photoshop type program.
Yes, the first photo that I examined while I was writing my Three Stooges Go to Washington serial article, I had come across the Lolo Satoru family photo. And I studied the furniture on the photo, and as I'm looking at the photo, Spirit told me, this is a color photograph, restore the color. So I put it into a simple picture viewing program, and I noticed that the color was brought down to zero on that. And so I raised the color level, and there we were. The wall in the back of the photo was a tomato orange or tomato red, and Obama's T-shirt, or the individual they're calling Obama, we'll say, to me, it doesn't even look like the same child. It doesn't look like the same person. There are many, many anomalous differences in skin tone, the shape of the ears, the nose, the mouth, and some shape-shifting going on in the knees. And the back of the hands revealing, upon enlargement, a reptilian-like skin. Okay, so I'm looking at this photo, and I realized the reason they changed it to black and white was to hide some of these anomalies. But it was the only photo that they had representing this so-called Indonesian family, his Indonesian stepfather. As I zoomed in further on the photo, I began to see that the shadow anomalies were missing, and instead there was light around the edge of the hair, as if the image had been extracted from another source and pasted into the photo. As I looked at Obama, I saw the same anomaly. In fact, it was a picture of Stanley and Dunham sitting in the middle of a love seat, and then they superimposed the picture of a baby sitting on her lap, and then they brought the other characters in. Careful examination reveals this. This is not something I'm imagining on some crazy, wild, whacked out conspiracy theory, as they like to call it. It's obvious that this is a compilation of at least four different elements put into the same photograph. No. Now, I went back and I started looking at all the photographs, and then I got a call from someone who had gone to school in Oklahoma City with Stanley Ann Dunham. And he remembered being in love with her. Well, she had blonde hair, and certainly that was her name. That's the only time anyone on the planet has ever heard of someone named Stanley Ann, is in reference to Barack Obama's mother. And yet we're portrayed this picture of this family being from Kansas. So I went back to the Kansas picture and looked at that, and I kept seeing the same anomalies in all these photographs. There were errors. The shadows are moving in contrasting directions. The shadows were obscured because they lowered the contrast in the picture, so you couldn't see that the shadow stops on a curtain and doesn't continue along the wall next to the curtain. Things like that.
Yeah.
I tracked down the letters on Stanley Ann Dunham's dress and determined she had studied at Notre Dame du Jamour in Beirut, Lebanon. When my informant in Oklahoma City told me that he met Stanley Armour Dunham, he was told he was with the CIA, and his name was Mr. Al from Chicago and from Lebanon. I found that highly, highly interesting, because this man is telling me something that is matching my research, and I hadn't yet to publish this research. So it corroborated it. And then I found further evidence that the CIA had a file on the Dunhams, and that they had stolen blueprints to Boeing aircraft that were manufactured in Wichita, Kansas, and that they also knew that Stanley Armour Dunham had actually sabotaged the plane. They had a dossier on him. He was working for the CIA as a British-Israeli agent. Today you would call that a Mossad agent or an MI6 agent. Now, this was fortuitous that this person came forward. And I checked his story out, and his father was in the picture. And again, I had another fortuitous experience where someone sent me a sound file to listen to someone speak. And I determined that that person, on the basis of other photos I found, was Dr. George King, who is the self-proclaimed voice for planet Earth and aliens out there. The man who founded the Aetherius Society.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, so my research went in some very strange directions, but it was all fitting these photographic anomalies.
Yeah.
It was matching. Now, if you have phony documents, the photographs have to be documents. The Punahou School documents are just as fraudulent. Every single male character put into a picture that was originally a line of girls standing in front of some shrubbery, and we don't even know that is occurring in Hawaii, but that's the picture they represent.
Yeah.
They show us grass and they say, this is Hawaii. This is Barack Obama at the Punahou School. Well, I'm convinced that if he did spend any time in Hawaii, it was with Frank Marshall Davis and Stanley Armour Dunham smoking drugs, doing drugs and drinking, and engaging in homosexual activity. And I can base that on what I've discovered about Obama from Larry Sinclair, and from the stories that have come out about him being at Club 54 at age 16, long before he entered Columbia University. We can't document any of his schooling, and that's because he didn't go there. This is why all the records are being hidden. Now, I proved the same lies on James Loeb from 100 or more years prior, and being the Loeb Library's classic founder, when I've got him telling the INS that he was born in Landsberg, Germany, not New York, like Harvard says. I didn't make those documents up. Those documents are available for anyone to find. So we have the same pattern here. Absolutely the same pattern, and it fits John McCain's background, too. So I hope I answered your question about the pictures.
Yeah. I mean, there are, again, so many anomalies. I wondered if we... I'd like to try to move along a little bit in the sense of, like, it astonishes me in a way, like, here you are as an individual trying to research all this. Why are there no police, CIA, FBI? Why? Where are all these people? How do you see that? Why don't, like, so much of this is so obvious, like 9/11 is, like, totally obvious. Tens of millions of people know the truth, and yet nothing is ever done. I guess, how do you see that, and how do you think we can possibly reverse this madness? What do you think, what's our hope for the future? What do we need to do? How can this ever be reversed?
Well,
so why don't we try to explore that type of line a little bit?
Yeah, well, of course, the research is one avenue. Now, it becomes an issue of credibility with a lot of people because they've been led to believe, and I use the word believe there intentionally, they've been led to believe that something is so because they've been told so by the media in a very orchestrated fashion. Have you ever seen someone who's a president get so much attention on such meaningless topics? This is to condition us to legitimize the person's presence. You understand? It does in no way legitimizes his identity, his nationality, or any of those things. This is a debauchery of the highest order, and it's going on in terms of our government and who they really are. We are of the opinion that they're honoring our grievances, they're listening to our grievances, and they're doing what's best for the country. Yet every indication, all of my research and the research of others, like Walter Burian or Christopher Story, shows that they're stealing money by the trillions.
Yeah.
Day by day. That's going on. So the stimulus package and the things, the little carrots that they dangle out in front of us are nothing more than that. They're things to quiet us and calm us down and make us feel secure. So we have to keep bringing the truth out, but we also have to recognize who is behind us, ultimately, okay?
Yeah.
You hit it on the head, Christopher, when you said, is it a demonic thing that's going on? Well, this is a spiritual warfare. It's called British Israelism, okay? You can connect the British and the Israelis to this, and this is a political concept that's masquerading as a religion here in the United States. They have attached Christianity to patriotism, as if when you say America is a Christian nation, you are now politicizing a spiritual truth, you see? And you're making it an earthly event. It's not a heavenly event any longer, despite what anyone wants to feel because of their commitment to their faith as a Christian. This is why you have people like the John Hagees and the Pat Robertsons promoting Israel, promoting war, promoting violence. Is that the message of Christianity? Was that Yeshua, the individual that we know as the Son of God, who came here and now is called Jesus Christ, is that the message that he taught? Is that the message in the Bible?
Yeah, it's so incredibly shameful what has become of the churches. I see the churches, I think in the Bible, don't they refer to the whore of Babylon? And
yes.
The churches in the way have become, they've sold out, they've lost their souls, they've been bought out by the same satanic influence which has crept into our whole society, every level of our society.
Yes, and this is in the message of Billy Graham. Billy Graham is a promoter of British Israelism. The former Dr. Gene Scott, who I knew personally, is such an individual.
Yeah.
In fact, his people tried to murder me. Okay?
Yeah.
I actually did die, and I came back. Okay? That was the first time. That was my first near-death experience, was at the hands of a church. It opened my eyes, and you have broadcasting networks like TBN, and you have the Paul Crouches and the Rod Parsleys, and these people are promoting British Israelism. See, the British hide behind all this. They have their bad guy in Osama bin Laden. They blame it on the Muslims, but that was the request that was made when they got the United States to go into a world war. They asked in return for Palestine.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they're trying to rebuild the Temple Mount there in Israel, claiming that they're God's chosen people? Okay? That's their kingdom on earth that they're trying to build, a communist one-world government.
Yeah. I mean, I have trouble with the terms a bit because ideas
of
socialism and communism.
I suggest you read. There's a book you can get online on Ken Adachi's site. It's called "The Union Jack." It's written by Helen Peters.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely insightful book, and I can compare it to any situation in history, and I can see Britain and Israel involved there. Zionism.
Yeah. Okay. Have you seen the movie?
Wait a minute. Israel's only been around for 61 years.
That doesn't matter. This plot, Zionism has been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah, but what you're characterizing as Zionism, I'm not sure that is what I characterize as Zionism. I mean, I don't understand what British Israelism is. What does that mean?
I suggest you read that book because we don't have enough time in this show.
I'm asking you, what is British Israelism? You're blaming pretty much everything, all the troubles of the world on British Israelism. I'd like to hear what it is.
Okay, we have. Would you agree that the legal system in the United States is very screwed up?
Yeah.
Okay, it's screwed up because we're following admiralty law, which is born out of maritime law. It was the law of the sea brought to land. The 68 square miles known as Washington, D.C., is a corporation, and that corporation is in a two-party agreement with the British Crown, the City of London, not who sits on the throne, the British Crown. And it was perpetrated through the auspices of the Virginia Company and the New England Company. It goes back to King George III. That's when they actually got their claws into this nation. 50% of the mineral rights goes to the British Crown. 5% of the retail product, the gross domestic product of the United States, goes to them as well. And it has.
I thought you said a revolution to kind of get rid of that.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that we were deceived about what was established.
I mean, what exactly in history do you guys believe in? I mean, That just strikes me as being completely absurd. I'm sorry. So the American Revolution was.
I'm not the only one, my friend, who is actually
have 100 people say the same thing. I still think it's complete nonsense. I'm just saying, like, I don't get this. I mean, I don't.
Well, then you tell me. Tell me what it is. Then instead of attacking it, tell me what it is.
What's it?
What is the nature of the government in the United States? Why is it that the Congress and the Senate do not carry out the wishes of the people? And why are they not servants of the people? Why have they turned this around to make us servants of them? Explain that to me.
Well, that's a very complicated question. I mean, there isn't any the people. I mean, that's the first problem, is that the people do not exist. That, you know, you have a nation with a lot of different people with a lot of different agendas and a lot of different viewpoints and a lot of different expectations from their government.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that essentially governments serve people who have money and power. That's what they're there for. They're there to enact the laws and to create conditions that these people can maximize the amount of money that they make and to exercise power. I think it's very simple on that. That's a simple answer.
Well, you're describing one activity.
No, you're describing kind of everything in terms of something that you don't define. I'm giving an example of what I think.
I have defined it.
I would say that's an abiding principle pretty much for almost all governments, is that governments are generally run by people who have money and power. That, you know, that democracy per se exists to varying degrees in varying countries, but it doesn't really exist anywhere.
But that's not the history that's taught, you see. That's not what they teach you about government.
Yeah,
they teach you anyone can become the president of the United States. They don't teach you when you vote, we can change the vote with a computer, or we can make it hang in the balance of a hanging chad, like they did in 2000, and they can get the Supreme Court to back them up, and we see people being robbed blind. You see, I know too many facts about what's going on in the background to give any credence to the law. The law serves their purpose.
I completely agree with you about the election in 2000. I mean, that's a well known, I think, to anybody who's looked at.
Well, that's just one event. We had the same event in 2004, and we had the same event in 2008. We have a usurper. We have a person that, for some reason, doesn't have to show his certificate of live birth to anyone, and he's sitting in the White House. Now, he's sitting in the corporate U.S. He's not my president. He is a usurper. He's a fraud. He's a charlatan.
It was interesting. last week, someone referred me to a YouTube series where it maintains that in 1935, members from Canada went to Washington and they incorporated Canada as a corporation in Washington. And I had no idea of that. And this is, Canada is actually incorporated with its head office on Pennsylvania Avenue. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of that as well. And I've also heard that the mineral rights basically to Canada have been taken over by companies like Halliburton. The first thing that Dick Cheney did when he got into office was set up a whole staff of people to inquire on how to acquire the mineral rights. Particularly, his first interest was in the oil fields. And you can find this on the internet. You can find the actual studies. They're published there. And the Canadians did nothing about it. They knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And for that matter, no one here in America knew about it either. I think I discovered it quite by accident, but I discovered it in the process of research. And when I'm researching as thoroughly as I do, because I'm the biggest skeptic you'll run across until I'm absolutely convinced that I found the documentation to support it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I'm not making wild accusations here. I'm spending 22 hours or 20, some days I go 3-4 days without sleep.
Wow.
Until I find the answer that I'm looking for. And so, yes, I've heard these things. You know, you have a parlor of of government. It seems to me, I recall, in December, the parliament was suspended.
Yeah, when Harper didn't want to, he wanted to maintain power, so he suspended parliament, went to the governor general. I mean, that's quite legal by Canadian law. Like, I didn't see that as such a event as I heard it, or it was talked about on the internet. I didn't think that was so irregular given our laws, but that's beside the point a bit. I did want to try to bring us back a little bit to this issue. What do we do? Where does our salvation lie? How can we turn this around? I think so much it comes back to people waking up, like learning the truth. And I think in a way the 9/11 deception is the most shocking and important, like smoking gun to really show the criminality of the whole society. But where do you see it? What do we need to do, Don? Where does salvation lie? How can this be turned around? I mean, it looks like, you've got 1,000 FEMA camps across the state, some of them armed with guillotines, and you got trains with shackles. It's like we're building up to, like, something comparable to Hitler's extermination of people.
Well, there's never been anything like this before on this planet. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Now, I've stressed that this is a spiritual battle going on, and it's simply those that are playing God here on this planet, totally under the influence of Satan. We've referenced this numerous times, and there is an alien influence again, which is influenced by Satan, equally.
Yeah.
Okay, and as absurd as that may sound, there's plenty of documentation out there. I'm not asking anyone to believe, even Jim. I'm not asking Jim to believe. I don't know where he stands on that issue. I have much, much experience in that area. That is what spurred my initial research, along with my metaphysical gifts and my intuition that these things are actually real. And that they're given to us in movies to condition us. Now, since it's a spiritual battle, that you've got to come to grips with your own individual and then our collective responsibility in recognizing that we allowed this to happen to some extent.
Yeah.
Okay. As children, are we guilty of that? Well, it happened to us, and children tend to be quite innocent. They don't get blamed for the things that adults get blamed for. But when we became adults, why didn't we begin to see these things? We were too busy being entertained. So we must look within. We have to look at within from the heart center so that we can connect with our Creator and be inspired and open up our creative avenues, because creativity develops proper thinking, right thinking. And I don't mean illusory thinking. I mean coming up with solutions. The solutions will present themselves. One is to recognize that we do have a problem. The world's economy is a problem. Food is a problem. Water is a problem. Without food and water, you can't exist as a physical being.
People are being assailed on so many fronts at one time. Poison from the air, the water, the food. Deliberate reduction of the food supply. I mean, I hear now in the states are trying to pass laws that'll prevent people from having gardens and organic farms, something along that line.
Yeah, they want to throw you in prison or fine you $1 million for growing your own food.
Yeah, if you don't have your salary registered.
You know, they can't think up enough sadistic laws and dictates to take over the whole world. They can't think of them fast enough. And the reason why is because they themselves are controlled. They themselves are fearful. All we have to do is recognize that all this time, they have been selling us their fear. And you can say, well, they didn't sell me anything. Well, you pay taxes on everything. You're taxed in every aspect of your life, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
And it's extortion and blackmail. And it's done under threat of imprisonment or in many cases, people are murdered. There have been more tax protesters murdered than any time in history. And it's occurring day by day. And they're taking people illegally, according to their own laws, and throwing them in prisons to silence them, or throwing them into medical facilities where they can be drugged and tortured.
Yeah.
And this is going on. You know, is it a coincidence these people are so deep into pedophilia and into the sex slave industry and the mind control industry, and that they've invested so much into those areas? We need to wake up, like you said, and become responsible. Now, if you're responsible, then you will gain courage and you will speak out against these things, because if you don't, you're next in line. Eventually, your turn will come.
But yeah, we certainly are headed for an Orwellian nightmare world. I mean, these people...
If we don't do anything about it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now what do we do? Well, we can establish local economies. We can establish ways, maybe it's a bartering system, and a refusal to be defrauded anymore. This is smoke and mirrors. You know, this is like watching The Wizard of Oz from inside the movie. And that movie told us everything about what life is intended to be on this planet. You have a straw man. You know, they called him the Scarecrow. They had to put the element of fear into the name. Okay? You had the Tin Man. And you had the lion that didn't have courage. And they were saying, look, this is you people. You are these characters in this movie. And they use this saying, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And what are they doing to there's no place like home? They're taking everybody's property.
Yeah.
Even people who are not behind on their payments are having their properties taken.
Yeah.
They're living in tent communities with no food and no water.
Yeah, across the states now, you have tent communities, eh?
Yes. And you have riots occurring in other parts of the world. Why aren't we hearing about this? Well, this is a plot. This is designed this way. And they've always had the arch enemy was the Russians. They won't touch Russia. They need that. Just like, even though bin Laden is dead, they still keep bringing out a picture every once in a while and telling us that he brought out a new message, because they have to keep that boogeyman alive.
Yeah.
Wake up to the deception. That's what, you know, waking up is not just, oh, well, I was asleep. Okay, what do I do now? You got to recognize what's happening, because it's affecting the people, and mostly it's affecting the people that are asleep. It's not affecting the ones that are awake. They haven't figured out, beyond killing us, what they're going to do with those of us that are delivering this message.
But yeah, well, I would have thought we're red tagged. I think they say, aren't the red tags the ones who are disposed of, and then the blue tags are supposed to be able to be reconditioned, and the yellow tags are the sheep people. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard all of that. They have the red. Well, you know, they have the same kind of warnings for the terror level too, don't they?
Yeah.
What do those things actually mean? You know, they're put out there just to create fear. It's not going to matter what color tag you have in the end. You know, if it's going to become a life or death struggle, what are you going to choose?
Yeah.
In fact, it's all about having a God-given sovereign choice from the beginning.
Well, it is a life or death situation now for people around the planet, not only for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. And I guess people are resisting across a whole spectrum of levels. Like, you have the whole Ron Paul and the Fed movement. You got more and more military and police waking up and beginning to resist the control of the guns, and you have the health people resisting all these draconian health measures to restrict vitamins and minerals and prevent gardening and so on. I mean, I guess we need a full spectrum of responses And you have states now declaring sovereignty and other states who are refusing to be part of the North American Union. And I guess all of these collectively are important movements.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting so desperate that they may have to just totally scrap this idea about a North American Union and the Amero and just move right into a world economy.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, the powerful British Empire that has been hiding behind all this is at the root of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I gathered from... have you ever seen the movie The Empire of the City?
No, I haven't,
That's a five-hour series, and it shows there being three main sources of power. One is a city, corporated city of London. The second, which is the financial arm, and then Washington, D.C., which is the military arm, and then the Vatican. And all three are separate city-states and all have Egyptian obelisks in them.
Well, yes. And if you go back to the Knights Templar and the Masons, they built everything that they did around the Vatican, their subservience to the Pope. The Crusades was about amassing the wealth of the people through murder and pillaging and corruption. And finally, these guys said, hey, wait a minute, why are we giving this to the Pope? We can keep it for ourselves. And so these factions became militant in a sense, but they hid behind the cloak of Christianity. How can you have so many different versions of a faith and not question which version is the authentic version? How can you? How can any reasoning, thinking person look at... And they turned Christianity, or they turned the teachings of Jesus Christ into a political weapon, masking, disguising itself to be something that it is not.
Yeah, I mean, never has, well, maybe Christianity's been so low before. It's heartbreaking to see religions so perverted as they've become. I mean, it seems the Muslims are the ones who are really most solidly religious in the true sense, spiritual.
Yes.
The church, I consider myself a Christian, but I would be ashamed of saying so, looking at the behavior of the churches. It's so disgraceful.
Yes, and they're not teaching the truth about Christ and about it. The story about Christ is about his message. It's not about the man. It's about the message.
Yeah, you should watch that series called The Empire of the City. It's remarkable, some of the claims in there. I don't know how to assess them myself. But even the origin of Christ, they maintain in that movie, was actually the son of Cleopatra and Mark Antony.
Yes.
Is very, very curious. I really don't know enough to be able to assess some of the claims that they make in that movie.
Well, through my research of Zionism and the characters currently playing their role within what I see as a Zionist movement... And it's just a label. You look at what they do, forget what they're calling themselves, and look at what they do. You can trace these people all the way back to the caverns of Tibet, where they were called the Bon. And they migrated to Mongolia, and they took on the name of the Mon. And Genghis Khan, who was a warrior, had a son named Thule. And you had the Nazis had the Thule Society.
Okay.
And they also had the Vril Society. And the Vril Society was actually the secret society that was dabbling in the alien issue and the spiritual realm. And they applied the what they learned in the Thule Society. The Thule Society was for public consumption. And then the Mon, now they're known as the Mon, and I'm speaking about the group of people who became the Ashkenazis. They were known as the Khazars, then the Ashkenazis, and they go back to biblical times as the Kenites. These are the descendants of Cain.
And not of the original 12 tribes of Israel.
Israel, that's correct. So,
they're not, in a way, the Zionist movement is said not to really embody, like, the noble tradition of Judaism.
Yes, it's a political movement, and it's based on dominating the finances of the world. Okay? That's it, in the nutshell. And that's what the city of London is about. The two go hand in hand. Now, the mind control here in the United States was fostered originally at Montauk. There you have that word Mon again. And the Montauk Indians' family name was Pharaoh. So there's a connection between Montauk and Egypt. This is the spiritual element of what's going on here, you see?
Yeah.
And it's portrayed itself out in history. And you hear, if you've heard any of Al Bielek or Preston Nickel or Stuart Swerdlow's discussions and all the treasure trove of information that came out of the Montauk Project, you can see, again, there is a connection.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Like, are you familiar with Dr. Lorraine Day?
Yes.
Her research, I thought, like, she's a very eloquent woman explaining the whole Zionist-British connection.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
so, I have many British friends. I'm not attacking the people country.
I mean, it's not the people here. It's you know, all the peoples of all the countries have been deceived in a similar way. Like, it's... You know, I can look at America in a way, and I'd say, you know, Americans should be so disgusted with what you've done as a nation. Like Vietnam, it was a complete fraud. You know, you mass murdered 2 million people, you know, and in Korea, you murdered a third of the population through bombing and all these terrible things. But I know it's not Americans. You know, it's people who have been deceived by your government. And they don't represent, because I have known many Americans and have American friends, and none of them are of this type. You know, it's not American people. It's not Israeli people. Israeli people are as deceived by their government as Americans are by theirs, and English by their government, and Canadians by our government. It's like the peoples of the world. We have to kind of unify together to deal collectively with this kind of mass psychosis that's taken over our civilizations.
Yes, and this was done by design.
Yes, I see it also.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, we haven't gotten to my work very much today. I'll have to have you back at some point in the future. Maybe we'll reverse the interview or something. But what I think, I write mainly about the heart doctrine, and I explain how in all modern Western views of the origin of human consciousness, all the scientists regard consciousness as having been produced by the brain and centered in the head. They consider the mind is in the head. But what's similar in all of the religious tradition, Judaism, Christianity, Vedas and Hinduism, Tibetan Buddhism, the secret doctrine, Islam and Sufism, all elaborate the heart doctrine, that an individual's true self is connected to the heart, and it's the qualities of the heart that characterize, like, whether a person is evil or lives in goodness. And I think it's the people, like, what we really need are true Christians, true Jews, true Muslims, true people of any religious persuasion, we need to come together, people of heart, and to rise up against this madness of these people.
Yes, I agree. And I did mention that when you were asking about solutions, what do we do? We've got to recognize, you know, I could explain very quickly what these eight methods are that they use within this system of British Israelism.
Okay, do you want to go through those quickly? We don't have too long, but if you can go through them relatively quickly.
Yes, I can. The first precept that they use, British communism poses as the Christian religion, and as such, it operates freely to overthrow the American government. Okay, and we can establish this in this two-party contract between Washington, D.C., the corporate United States of America, and the British Crown. Secondly, by a system of complicated fronts, it hides its identity. Thirdly, it enlists Americans against their own country without them ever knowing it. And this is done through law, and it's done through all of the doublespeak and the manipulation of language. It is the originator and greatest pretender of anti-communism, thereby neutralizing any genuine effort of patriotism. And this is the fundamental cause of why the patriot movement is not getting anywhere. It is not inhibited, this is the fifth precept, it's not inhibited by the expense and logistics of a military effort. In fact, the whole concept of the New World Order people from the time of the Second World War has been to make the United States the international policeman on a military level. Sixth, it can be, it can use Marxian communism to cause conflict between nations and conflict between races within nations and keep complete control over all sides through the kingdom, religion, and masonry. Now we have Barack Obama, whose so-called parents and grandparents were Marxist communists in the Seattle, Washington area, as well as in Hawaii. And I have discovered through my research the same was the case in Oklahoma City. And they worked under the Rockefellers. They were agents for the Rockefellers, particularly for the Standard Oil Company. Seventh, it extols the American tradition, American ideals, the Constitution, and everything dear to the heart of patriotic Americans. And eighth, it controls all political parties, including independent parties and third and fourth parties, which is why you will not see a third or fourth party rise to any prominence and seriously challenge the Democratic or the Republican parties. Now, we can defend ourselves, and it's really through offense. Number one, British communism must be identified as the whole network of pseudo-religious cults that teach a kingdom of God on earth. They must be dealt with as would any treason. At the same time, we have to understand that such teaching is not Christianity. Number two, we must understand that Masonry is the visible agency of the empire carrying out systematic destruction of liberty and property under the Constitution. That simple understanding alone will cause people to see that it is false patriotism, race conflict, foreign wars, the farce of democracy, and the hypocrisy of world brotherhood.
Well, there was a lot there, and I know I have difficulty with some of the terms and disagree with aspects. I know this idea that creating God's kingdom on earth, in a way, I think I agree with that. Like, it's like in the Lord's Prayer, they say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think in a way it was what we were supposed to have done, was to enable God's will to be manifest on earth, to reflect the divine attributes above. And in a way, I think these people have so distorted that and have become satanic. But
that's
still,
right.
In a way, I think we do want higher will to manifest on earth. I think we could have had heaven on earth in a sense. So I don't quite agree with that, but it's also a matter here of language.
Well, it's
the end of the show, and we do need to wind up. Thanks, Jim, for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
I'm sorry we don't have time to really pursue all these things, but it's really so complicated, and I think we all basically agree. We all agree we see these. We're in very troubled times. We do need to get a grasp of this. We do need to be brave of heart to face these problems upon us. Thank you very much, Don. Thanks for taking my calls and let me participate in your show. I really enjoy that. Maybe sometime I'll have you back and you can interview me, Don.
Well, we'll interview on you on my show. How would that be?
Well, that would be fine. Yeah, anytime. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. I'll book you for April. And I want to point out here that this this kingdom of heaven on earth is a mask for materialism and subjugation under one world government.
Well, that's what it is in their terms, but
yeah.
I, in another way, I'm saying I can understand that in another way, that it's not that at all.
Yes, like, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Don, and we'll talk to you again, and I'd like to thank BBS Radio and our listeners. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Remember yourself. Let's have courage and face this monster upon us all. Thank you. Goodbye.